I want to begin tonight with the passage that was read at the beginning in Colossians, as we're introduced to this minister by the name of Epaphras. We've been studying the book of Colossians on our Wednesday night class back here, and we learned a little bit about the beginnings of the Colossian church, and it was through the ministry of this man named Epaphras that the church had its beginning. Paul wrote his letter to the church in Colossae. He had probably never been there. It was just up the river from Laodicea, and it was the smallest of all the towns and the smallest of all the churches that the Apostle Paul ever wrote to. Paul is now in prison. Epaphras travels to Rome, and he's there with Paul, and he tells Paul about all the struggles that are going on back in Colossae. And Paul writes to the church, and he provides encouragement that we're going to see in just a few moments. I know that I'm not a real good fix-it kind of a guy, and Murphy's Law never strikes with greater intensity than it does around my house with home repairs. And I'm not gifted like some of you are with the ability to do that. And part of it is that I don't have the experience or the inclination or the tools to do a lot of the jobs. But I have found that through improvisation, I can use a lot of things. I have figured out that a kitchen knife works very well as a screwdriver. Have you ever had to do that? Vicky's not too fond of that use, but I've also found that if you have a hard heel on your shoe, that makes an excellent hammer, and so you can drive nails with the heel of a shoe. But there are some jobs that you simply cannot do at all unless you have the correct tool to do that job. Tonight I want us to look at the most powerful tool in the arsenal of the Christian by far, and it's prayer. The tool that will get us farthest in our own life, in our battle against Satan, in our growth in the spiritual values and virtues. There's no substitute for prayer. Here in Colossians 4, the church had sent their minister Epaphras to Rome. Paul now writes back, and in his absence, Paul wants them to know that they have not been forgotten. And there in chapter 4, down in verse 12, Paul writes these words, "Epaphras, who is one of you and a servant of Christ Jesus, sends greetings. He is always wrestling in prayer for you, that you may stand firm in all the will of God, mature and fully assured." Paul had heard those prayers. No doubt they had prayed together for the Christians back in Colossae. And Paul just wants to assure them that they have someone who has their back in the prayers that he's praying for that church. Now, wrestle carries the idea of a struggle or a fight, and it's the very same word that was used back in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 13, verse 24, where Jesus said, "Make every effort to enter through the narrow door." It's that word struggle, make every effort. Some of the versions read strive. So it's this strong contending for that he's talking about. Epaphras is described as wrestling in prayer for those Christians at Colossae. There may be times when you understand the full intent of that word. There have been times in my life when I have wrestled in prayer, but they're usually times of desperation. I couldn't describe, I'm afraid, my daily prayers as prayers in which I wrestle. But there are times of desperation in my life, in concern for loved ones or people close to me, or situations that just seem so dire, when I got down on my knees and in all earnestness, I pleaded with the Lord and I begged the Lord to hear my prayer. And I'm sure each one of you have had times in your life when you have wrestled in that way. It's remarkable that in all of Scripture, I know of no other description like this one we read of Epaphras. I know there were great men of faith, and there were men like Daniel who prayed on a regular basis, even when it would cost him his life. But I know of no one else that's described as someone who wrestles in prayer regularly for the lives of the Christians in a particular place. We do read about people like Anna. Remember that elderly lady that appears in the Gospels. She appears in Luke chapter 2. When it says there in verse 36, she had lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage. She was still just a newlywed. And then it says, and then became a widow until she was 84. It says she never left the temple, but worshiped night and day, fasting and praying. Here's a lady who, for the majority of her life as a widow, went to the temple and spent time fasting and in prayer, an entire life dedicated to praising the Lord and praying for the needs of the followers of God. We read about the Jerusalem church in prayer. In Acts chapter 12 and verse 5, Peter was thrown into prison. It looked like he was going to lose his life. And it says, so Peter was kept in prison, but the church was earnestly praying to God for him. And God heard those earnest prayers, times of desperation. I know back when 9/11 occurred and our nation was shaken to its core, this church had a time of prayer that was, I think a good description would be, prayed earnestly for our nation and for the events that were shaping our nation at that time. Wouldn't it be great to have a group of Christians like those who prayed earnestly for Peter that night there in Jerusalem? Or a sister like Anna, who made it her lifelong ministry to praise the Lord and to pray? Or to have a brother like Epaphras that would pray for you if you were in trouble? I would love to know that I had someone in my court like these brothers and sisters that we read of in Scripture. Now, there's a lot that I honestly do not understand about prayer. I have answers, but they're preachers' answers. I don't always know the real response to some of the difficult questions about prayer. Why does God want us to ask for things that He already knows we need? Well, I can give you a preacher's answer to that, but the honest truth is, I don't fully understand everything about prayer that I would like to. How do I know that what I ask from God wouldn't have happened anyway? You know, sometimes we think, well, maybe that was just a coincidence. Maybe that would have happened anyway. We can't always tell because we can't ask God directly, God, did you do that? We assume many times, and I believe rightly so, that God has responded in the way we've asked Him to respond. But while there are things I don't know about prayer, there are some things that I am absolutely certain about prayer. I'm completely confident about. One of those is that I know that prayer changes things. I know that's true. Hezekiah prayed that he wouldn't die. He was told by God he was going to die, and he prayed earnestly that his death would be postponed, and God gave him 15 extra years added onto his life. And that story is recorded in 2 Kings chapter 20. James tells us about the prayer life of the prophet Elijah, and he says in James 5 that Elijah was a man, and this is important, and James wants us to know, Elijah was a man, yes, he was a prophet, but he was a man just like us, James says. And he's encouraging us, and I think the import of that passage is that our prayers can be just as effective as Elijah's. Elijah was a man just like us. He prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3.5 years. Again he prayed, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth produced its crops. That's sort of a strange prayer, but Elijah had read in the Old Testament that when the people turned their back on God, that God would withhold the rain, and Elijah was very aware that the people had turned their back on God, so he prayed the promise of God and said, God, you've said that you'll withhold your rain from these ungodly people, now do it, and God did. And then when they repented, he prayed that it would rain, and it did rain. The prayer of a righteous man, we're told, is powerful, and it's effective. And there's no one here who is righteous of their own accord, but there are many here in this room, most here in this room tonight, who have been made righteous by the blood of the Lamb. And your prayers are heard, and God responds to prayers from Christians. Secondly, I know this from personal experience about prayer. Prayer encourages like nothing else encourages. This church is very good about sending cards and about making visits and about making phone calls and things like this to provide encouragement. And I hear all the time from visitors that come here, they say, I've never had as many cards as I received from this congregation. And people who are sick say, I got so many wonderful cards and calls from people. But let me tell you, nothing encourages like heartfelt prayer. This church in Colossae got a letter from Paul, and I'm sure that was a tremendous encouragement to them, but they didn't know Paul personally. They knew Epaphras. And to know that that man was down on his knees praying for them, wrestling in prayer for them, I'm sure that was a tremendous encouragement to those Christians there. Have you ever had someone when you were in an extreme situation? Have you ever had someone reach over and take your hand and say a prayer for you? Have you ever, like I have, had someone come in and say, let's get down on our knees and put their arm around your shoulder and say a prayer for you? You know what that does for someone? There is no greater encouragement on this earth that I'm aware of than to have someone earnestly and sincerely pray for you and bring your name before the Father's throne. I had a very dear friend who lost his battle to brain cancer back in Memphis. And while he was sick, I went to see him very regularly, and I just said to him one day, I said, Charlie, I said, you know, I don't know whether I ought to say a prayer with you every single time I come in here and we talk and we would joke and all and visit. And Charlie just said to me, he said, you know, one thing I've learned by being so desperately ill, he says, don't you ever hesitate to pray for someone if you think they're in need of prayer. Sometimes we're not sure. And he said, always pray. Always offer to pray for someone who is in need. There's no doubt that prayer encourages, prayer changes things in the lives of individuals. Now, prayer is a lot like those tools that I spoke of at the beginning. Too often, we leave the most powerful tool of all idle on the shelf. Too often, we substitute our own feeble solutions and inadequate efforts in the place of prayer. And too often, we resort to prayer only at the last moment when everything else has failed, rather than using prayer at the very beginning. The most important thing you can ever do in any dilemma, in any problem, in any need, is to go first to God in prayer. What would it be like here at Sunset if we had just 10 widows in this church like Anna, who every day praised God and fasted and prayed for the needs of this congregation? But what might that change about this church if we had just 10 people doing that? What would it be like if we just had one or two like Epaphras, who daily wrestled in prayer for the needs of this church family. You know, we've done a lot of talking and we've emphasized every member ministry, and I believe that that's as biblical as it can be. God wants every member of a church family involved in ministry. But we talk about it sometimes in terms of time that we spend or money that we contribute. And these things are good and they're necessary, but I'll tell you, one of the most vital ministries of any church is the ministry of prayer. And I am grateful for those who meet on Sunday afternoon to pray, and I'm grateful for many of you who make it part of your daily routine to pray, and you bring the bulletin home with you, and you pray about the needs that exist in this church family, and you pray for our missionaries, and you pray for the leaders of this church. And that is such a vital ministry of any congregation. I want to just challenge each of you here tonight. If you don't pray regularly, start doing that. Make it part of your routine to begin your day with prayer. Keep the church directory close by and just go through and if you want to learn people's names, that's a good way to do it. Get the pictorial directory and pray for families and pray for their strength and pray for their families and pray for needs that only God knows that these people have. And when you pray for people, a lot of times we pray for people and they never ever know it. I'm sure that there are some of you who pray for me and I feel the benefit of it, but I never know specifically that you're praying for me, and it encourages me so much more, and it encourages all of us so much more if we'll simply let those we pray for know that we're praying for them. Just a phone call to someone who has recently lost a spouse, not to ask them how you're doing today and is it getting easier, but just to say, I just want you to know this morning as I began my day, I brought your name before our Father's throne in prayer, and I do that on a regular basis. That's what encourages and gives people strength for those hard times. Share with one another the things that we're praying for them. Not only tell someone that you're praying for them, but let them know what you're praying for them. I remember many years ago, when I went to school, I studied business administration, and I was anything but a preacher, and I graduated from school, and I was about 23 years old, and one of the good friends of ours was an older man, and his name was Pat Brunson, and Pat just said to me one day in conversation, he said, "You know something, Joe?" He said, I see in you the potential of being a good, strong leader in the church." And do you know, by age 23, I had never been told in my whole life that someone thought that I could be a leader in the church. I was a late bloomer. And I'd never been told that, and it just sort of overwhelmed me. And this man said, "I'm going to pray that you will develop into a leader in the church." Now, that had a tremendous impact on me, just having someone tell me that. And let me just say to you, we all see that in these young people down here. And we see things they do and the way they act, and we're proud of them. But they need to hear us talk to them about the potential we see. And they need to know that we are praying for God to help them grow in these areas of giftedness that we can observe that sometimes as teenagers, I mean, you're so down on yourself during those teen years that we can't always see in the early years of life. And then we need to be certain that we thank God for answered prayers. And I think a lot of times we leave prayers that are answered in our lives unthanked for the simple reason that we don't look for the answers. How many prayers have you prayed and God's answered and you've gotten so busy going in a different direction that you didn't even pause long enough to look and see that God said yes to that prayer? And maybe later on you think of it, or maybe you never think of it. We need to pray and look for His answers and then like those who are recorded in the minority in the New Testament, go to Jesus and say, thank you for what you've done for me. Thank you for answered prayer. It was Alfred Lord Tennyson that said, more things are wrought by prayer than this world dreams of. I'm convinced that many of the successes that we have enjoyed here at Sunset, if we could really see behind the scenes, are not because of some great person on staff who's thought up these great ideas and engineered it, or some elder who has made things happen behind the scenes. I'm convinced that there are many things that have taken place that are wonderful in this church family simply because some person unknown to any of us but God has been on their knees and they've prayed and they've asked the Lord for blessings and they've asked the Lord for direction and they've asked the Lord for wisdom. And I believe that many, many things God will reveal to us one day that have been wrought right here among us have happened because of faithful men and women who have bent their knee in prayer to God. I just want to encourage us. We're at a really good, healthy, happy, exciting stage in this church's life. And this morning, two men's names were announced, and soon we'll be seeing those men join our existing elders. And this is a great time to pray for this church and its future and its leaders and its members that we can go on to greater and greater strengths for God in this area. Tonight, we will use that most powerful tool, that greatest gift from God that we have in our spiritual lives, the gift of prayer, on your behalf if you need us to pray for you. If tonight you need to take the step of faith that we saw Brett take this morning, we'll gladly assist you as you're baptized. If you need to come, we invite you to do that while we stand and sing.